As you can imagine, a longitudinal study of 2014 Norwegian men who were recruited from 1972 to 1975 and then followed up until 1997 is an amazing source of data. Researchers from the Institute of Clinical Medicine and the Department of Informatics at the University of Oslo and from the Department of Cardiology at Oslo University, Ullevål in Norway, investigated the long-term predictive impact on stroke risk of baseline variables, including hemodynamic variables measured at rest and during exercise in these same middle-aged healthy men. I'm Carmen Leif Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and I spoke to Dr. Erik Pressgaard, lead author of the paper Long-Term Predictors of Stroke in Healthy Middle-Aged Men, which was recently published in the International Journal of Stroke.
My name is Erik Pressgaard. I'm a medical doctor and a PhD candidate at the Oslo University Hospital here in Oslo, Norway, and I'm affiliated with the University of Oslo.
Let's go back to the beginning. When did this study begin?
We started way back in the 1970s, so inclusion was between 1972 and 1975, which means basically planning for this study started in the 1960s. So it's a cohort with a very long follow-up. Follow-up ended January 1st, 2007, so we're not collecting any data, but there's still PhD candidates, there's still a lot of scientific activity going around this study, so it's still a very active study group.
Fantastic. So with the particular paper that you've written, when you're actually just looking at the long-term predictors of stroke in healthy men, what were you looking to investigate?
The background for this study can just give you, this was originally set up to investigate, left and coronary heart disease in healthy middle-aged men, and the backdrop for that was basically the pretty staggering numbers of incidence rates of CHD. Morbidity and mortality in that time, 60s and 70s. So we thought we could use this material to focus on stroke. So we basically wanted to see if a baseline measurement of variables of risk factors in middle-aged healthy men could predict stroke in the very long term. So we were just exploring which of those risk factors would play out over a maximum 35-year follow-up.
We'll get into it in a minute and just have a look and see if it really did tell us that, what the long-term predictors of stroke were in healthy middle-aged men. Before we do, what does hemodynamic variables mean?
Yeah, we use the term hemodynamic variables in the paper, perhaps somewhat literally. I'm sure different people use that differently. We have defined it basically as variables that were measured during exercise. For example, exercise, blood pressure, and heart rate. Yeah.
Great. So why was it important to look at this particular group of healthy Norwegian men? And what were the parameters? And by parameters, I mean, what sort of was the inclusion criteria?
We wanted these men well. I mean, this has been decided, obviously, way before my time. But they wanted the men to be healthy. That means they had no known cardiovascular disease, no cancer, no taking no regular medication. They have to be healthy. They have to. They were all working. They were selected from five very large public companies in the Oslo area, both blue collar, white collar workers. So we wanted to be a selection of a general healthy working population, and they're very well described. One investigator did all the baseline examinations. This was over 2,000 men included, and then we have to fill out various questionnaires. Vitals, ECG, chest x-ray, blood samples, and relevant, especially to this study, they had to do an exercise test, whether they did an exercise ECG and with various blood pressure measurements. And during the exercise.
So you use the term healthy middle-aged men. Made us understand what healthy middle-aged men is. What's the age band?
So 40 to 59 years.
And was there any other data, like were they married or not married? Did those sort of things come into it?
Unfortunately, no, we don't have that. I don't have that information. And then we should also, today many studies include, socioeconomic status, income. Unfortunately, I don't have that figure, which I would have liked to have.
So in the 35-year follow-up, how many participants that had remained in the study had had a stroke?
324 strokes in total, but we only considered 316 of those spontaneous. That is, 8 of those strokes were obviously considered by some external mechanism. For example, if it happened during surgery, they were taking warfarin, or during an active malignancy. For example, one of the patients was admitted, and they found with a cerebral bleed, and they found a major brain tumor, for example. So it was, 8 of them were taken out. So we used 316 strokes for the analysis, and 287 of those were categorized as ischemic, and 29 were hemorrhagic.
Ah, okay. And was that more than you expected, or do you think that fits within the range of expectation?
I think it pretty much fits in, because I think from Framingham, there's another study in the United States with a very long-term follow-up of a community, and I think they calculated that a lifetime risk of stroke is about 1 in 6. And this is more or less what we also found in this study. Yeah. Maybe some are more ischemic strokes than maybe other studies, roughly 91%. Where others have found between 85, 90, but I think it's pretty consistent with other studies.
So you've defined hemodynamic variables as exercise. What part did that play in the assessment?
To study this, we had all these covariates, and we wanted to explore that and see what played out in the long term, what we judged for. We obviously have the same model, one will prove the strongest, and interestingly, especially the blood pressure during exercise, the maximal blood pressure during exercise was the strongest risk factor for stroke in these healthy men, during this long-term follow-up, even stronger than resting blood pressure. We also found, obviously, age, we found smaller body mass index to predict stroke. We found systolic blood pressure if we did not adjust for the exercise blood pressure. But interestingly, the maximal systolic blood pressure during exercise proved the strongest predictor of stroke in this cohort.
So where does myocardial infarction fit into this, and what relationship does it have with the non-traditional risk factors of physical fitness and the / hemodynamic variables?
Yeah, we didn't run analysis for myocardial infarction in this paper. We had an exclusive focus on stroke, but most of the studies done within this cohort have been published, more than 100 articles on these men through the years. Most of the focus has been on myocardial infarction, CVD death, which was the initial focus. And interestingly, the blood pressure was measured as moderate workload predicts myocardial infarction, or it's the maximal blood pressure that predicts stroke. So it seems that the blood pressure that you are moving around with it, moderate activity, as kind of builds up some kind of physiologic process that will give you a heart attack in the future. The difference from the pathophysiology of stroke in this case, which I think is interesting. I don't know if that was a confusing answer, but anyway, the moderate blood pressure, moderate workload predicts the myocardial infarction, while the maximal blood pressure predicts the stroke. an exercise test and maybe used to unmask appropriate, but may go unnoticed by measurements during rest. But it seems to somehow unmask that atherosclerotic process earlier than this measurement during rest. And I think that's an interesting message and something that could be hopefully explored in other populations to see if it can be replicated.
You've been listening to a podcast interview with Dr. Eric Prescard. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. Please consider becoming a member.